This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We are happy to have you worship with us today and every Sunday on this station.
Does it weaken the Christian witness when the person says, "I don't know the answer to your question about why God permits terrible things to happen"? Someday we'll understand. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. That word that gives us specific answers to some very puzzling questions. Yet we realize, O God, that you have not given us all the answers. And grant that we may be given the grace and the strength to say when we are truly baffled with what people are asking, "I just don't know, but someday we will understand." Help us to understand this answer just a little bit better through your word this day, as we pray your blessings to go with your word wherever it is proclaimed today, and also through the efforts of this program. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The music heard on today's broadcast is sung by the London Philharmonic Choir and Mattersea Christian Music Group. We thank them for this work. Our scripture is one brief verse found in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 12. "Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. The word of the Lord. Friends in Christ, one of the most popular chapters in the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 13. And tucked away in that part of God's Word is this verse. I've read it to you once, let me read it to you again. Just one verse. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. In other words, what Paul is saying, from a spiritual point of view, we often live in a cloudy day. Some years ago, my wife and I had an opportunity to visit Alaska. And a part of our trip to Alaska took us to Denali Park. It's a huge park, just about the size of the state of Massachusetts. And in Denali Park, there is Mount McKinley, which is the tallest mountain in North America, 20,320 feet. The person who was our leader and the one who was telling us some of the facts on the train which took us through the park, and it was a day trip, said, I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure we will, see Mount McKinley today. Sometimes our tourists are very disappointed because the mountain is so shrouded in clouds that they never get a peek. When we got down near where it would be possible for us to see the mountain, it was not visible. It was veiled with the clouds. But the guide went on to say, take heart. You will see it before we leave the park. So later on in the morning, here came the announcement. And they had said to us, if you will look out the right side of the train, there is the mountain. And we rushed to the windows and looked. And there was Mount McKinley, all 20,320 feet, filled with snow. There it is. And the train stopped. And we watched and watched and were so thrilled that once we only knew in part that it was there. But now we could see it with our very own eyes. I think that's what Paul is trying to say to us, that there are so many things about our relationship with God and what is going to happen to us and what heaven will be like. But right now, parts of them are veiled. We don't have the answers. But one day, when we breathe our last, then the drapes will be drawn, and we will see Jesus as he is. Notice Paul says, "Now I see in a mirror dimly." In other words, those mirrors were not mirrors as we know them today, but they were metal, and you shined up the metal, whatever it was, and you looked in there, and there you saw your face. It was very dim, but you could see it was yourself. You knew enough, but you didn't know it all. The point that is being made today, friend, in the scriptures, is that it's okay to sometimes say when you don't have the answers, "I don't know." I learned that early on from my doctors. Because when I would ask them a question about something pertaining to health, my doctor was very free to say, "I don't know. I don't know." And that did not affect his effectiveness to me at all. I didn't think he was any less a doctor because he said, "I don't know." I stood in the famous Mayo Clinic one day with my wife after having that stroke and asked him an abundance of questions, a very highly trained neurologist, one of the best in the land. And you know what he said to me when I asked him some questions? "I don't know. Nobody knows. Pray to God that someday we will know, but right now we do not know." We Christians should never feel that we have to produce all the answers or people will not believe anything that is found in the Bible. That is not true. A great man of God, Job being one of them, said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." You wouldn't question Job's faith? Not for a minute. But here was a man who was willing to say, "I don't know." And our Lord Jesus Christ, not long before he was to leave his disciples, said, "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." It's the way that God intended it to be. Life is filled with all kinds of mysteries. Even in the secular world, I would love to be able to come back here in 25 years and see how things are going. Be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? I look for some great advancements, even in these secular matters of our existence. But it is all right from time to time to say, "I don't know." But there are many things that I do know. For example, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him for that day. Those are the words of St. Paul writing to the young man Timothy. I know whom I have believed. There's never any question about that, none whatsoever. I know, for example, you know if you're a Christian, that we are created in the image of God. We are different than any other part of God's creation. We have a mind with which we can think. We have a will with which we can make a decision. We have a soul that is immortal. No other part of God's creation have those characteristics. I know that. There's no question about it. How God created me? I don't know. I guess I have to leave that to the obstetricians and the gynecologists and anybody else. I don't think they really know either. But we know that we are created in the image of God. We know that we are sinners, not only because we have read that in the Bible, but because we read the newspapers, and because we look into our own soul, and we see how sinful we can really be, how unkind our words can often be, how devilish our thoughts can be, how wrong our actions can really be. Any person who would say, "I'm a perfect individual," has something wrong with him and really needs to see the doctor in the morning. Well, because we are sinners and everybody else is a sinner, we live in a broken world. And when you live in a broken world, then you know good and well that not everything that happens there is going to be nice. I know that. I don't have to go around and say to somebody, I don't know about this whole matter of sin. I know where it is. It's right within my own being. Don't you? Let the Holy Spirit go to work on you. Let him use God's law. And there's only one way that you can come out, and that is with a confession. I have transgressed the will of my Lord. But I know that God still loves me. And he loves you too. And so if you are a believer in his, you trust what his word has said. That if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive us all of our sins. That my salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's an experience. That all that sin is taken away. And we walk with him every day of our lives, and we have the complete assurance that when we die, all by grace alone and not by our own works, we shall live with him, and as the text says today, we shall see him face to face. And then we can have all of the answers. I know beyond all doubt that there is a heavenly home. I do not know the details of that home. I know that there is a place that has been prepared for those who trust in Jesus Christ. And I know, as we have already said, that we get there by grace alone. So parts of this whole Christian message we understand. And here, Paul is telling us, hang on to what you know. There are some people who say, if I can't have all of the answers, I don't want any of the answers. Don't be a fool and throw out what you know from living with God because he hasn't answered all of your questions. That is utterly ridiculous. I don't know very much about the intricacies of a motor. But I certainly am not going to throw my car away. I don't know how television works. I just know that if I turn on the button, there's a picture. And if I turn it off, the picture goes. But I don't want to throw that television out of my home. There are too many good things that I want to see, and that which I don't want to see and shouldn't see, I can turn off or turn to another station. You don't throw out the whole because you don't understand parts of it. As we live on with the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to see how faith is really working through in our relationship with him. I really believe that seeing things in retrospect strengthens one's faith tremendously. For example, you can ask the question, God is love, huh? Why did he take that parent or that child away from the family? You know what the answer to that is? I don't know. Don't try to make up an answer. How often through those many years that I was there, when a loved one had died, I heard something that just made me shudder. When a little child had died, and the mother said, why? A friend who was well-meaning had come to be with her, and she said, "You know why? God needed one more angel." And so he took the child home. And she said, "I'm going to get you a book that's written around that thought." How utterly ridiculous. No place in the scriptures is that found. How much better to have said, "We don't know. God will give us strength to live through it and just to it, but we don't know. Someday we'll understand." War. I don't understand it. As every day our newspapers tell us so many more have been killed. When are we going to stop this foolish killing? And then I have to realize that I don't have all the facts and I better keep still. But I was interested in Time magazine's article that appeared, I think it was a July 17th issue, where they're asking the question, have we finally been led to see that world peace cannot come through killing people, whether it is with bombs from an airplane, a missile, or a suicide bomber? That our president has said, in dealing with North Korea, "We will make sure that we work with our friends and allies. Diplomacy, not bombs, is the way we want to go." You know, if this war has brought us to that realization, then you see how God can use evil for good. I don't want to put that down as an answer. I don't know. I know there'll be wars and rumors of wars because sin has come into the world. We live in a broken world. But the specifics of this, I don't know. The social confusion that is around about us. When the late Kenneth Lay, founder and ex-CEO of Enron and friend of the president's, used some scandalous business practices, they say, I wouldn't know, that would cause former employees and investors and even the United States government to lose millions of dollars. How did God permit that? I don't know. What about all these people who have never heard the story of the gospel, who have never heard about Jesus? What about them? This I know. Only in Christ is a salvation. I don't know how God would answer that question about those who had never heard. But I do know this, that there's a glorious day coming. And that's when we breathe our last and as believers in Christ Jesus, and I pray that you all are, and if you aren't, that you will soon become one. That on that glorious day, all of our questions will be answered. And stop and think of it. Awakening in eternity to look into the face of Jesus. And that is what has been promised to us in our text. Today I know in part. I see as through a mirror. It's a cloudy day, but one day it will be face to face. And then I'll know, as I have been fully understood. Amen. Father in heaven, as your word is being proclaimed around the world today, may it bear fruit in the hearts of all. For those who do not know you as Savior and Lord, grant, Lord Jesus, that this may be the time that the Holy Spirit will use some person, some word, to bring these people into that relationship with you. We pray that those of us who claim you as our Savior and our Lord may truly be strengthened in that faith, that we may be able to say, when necessary, I don't know. But when we do know, that we may point that seeking soul to the answer for life, Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, in whose name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you in your walk with the Lord. For the past 70 years, the Holy Spirit has worked through this ministry to reach countless people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are celebrating with a special anniversary event on September 10th between 2 and 4:30 at Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. You are invited to join us for an afternoon of inspiration, fellowship, and refreshments. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. We are especially grateful to our Gift Every Month Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. Address your letters and gifts of support to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.